Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Turfway Park Thursday late pick 5 edition of the Notorious OTV on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by Champs. Run your own March Madness pool and enter Champs free bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs to enter today. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Welcome, everybody, to the Notorious OTV, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And, folks, as always,
it's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream.
We used to read Blood Horse Magazine. I got my Cuban links on.
Yes, Cuban B.
I'm your host, Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oakland.
I got ice all over my body looking like a snowman. Big rocks in the grill dancing like a slow jam. My chain's so heavy, I'm walking like an old man. Try me, you.
Welcome to the show. Joining me today, you might know him as the most beautiful member of On the Wrong Lead. Your friend and mine, ladies and gentlemen, making his, I don't know, millionth appearance on the show. Love having him back all the time. Mr. Caleb Knight. Caleb, what's up? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Chase. Good to see you. Maybe my millionth appearance on the stream, but it's been a while. So it feels fresh. It feels new. We got Derby season picking back up. We got Turfway action. So it's good to be back on, and thanks for having me. I'm always happy to join you.
Yeah. So you just made, I mean, you made a big move not that long ago. You uprooted from New Orleans to Boston.
Yeah. So I came to Boston to get a master's degree up here. So that's started in August of last year. So we're about halfway done, kind of working on finishing up spring coursework now and working on a thesis. It's a 1-year program, and then I'll be moving somewhere else. So the unknowns continue, but it's been a big change, but kept me busy. So I haven't been quite as engaged with the racing scene as I may normally be, but it's been fun. It's been a good time.
Am I doxing you if I say where you're going to school?
No, you can say it. I just, sometimes it feels like I'm name dropping.
I know. I understand. I get it. It's my wife, you know, she'll sometimes say I went to a school in Indiana as opposed to saying to go to Notre Dame. But my boy here is going to MIT. Can we just get a big round of applause for my man getting his master's from fucking undergrad, his master's from MIT. I was thinking about it earlier. I was like, you know what? I think Caleb is actually like low key, maybe the smartest person I know.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
And Mark might low-key be the person we know who thinks he's the smartest, you know,
that much. Like, that much checks out.
That much checks out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, how is the move from I mean, you've lived all over the place now, but like how is the, was there any culture shock going back to the north after being in like the deep south for a while?
Not too much. I'll say that in general, and I don't want to offend too many people. I don't care. People up here are maybe not quite as friendly as what I'm used to from living in the South, you know, New Orleans and whatever else. It's not that they're necessarily mean, but they're just not as social or warm, I guess you could say. So that was a bit different compared to what I've been used to. But on the other side, things up here just tend to work a lot better than they do in the South as far as infrastructure and just public policy and just things in general seem to be more efficient. So there's a give and a take there, I suppose.
Yeah, it seems that they don't have near as much fuck it in their system, which, speaking of fuck it, I decided for some reason we were going to take a look at the Turfway Thursday, March 6th, Year of Our Lord 2024, late pick five, which starts race five, post time 7:55 Eastern, 6:55 God's time, and then 4:55 in the specific time zone out on the specific coast. Thoughts on the sequence? I got to say, my first thought about this sequence is that it's a real motherfucker of a composition of races. Three maiden races with a pair of them coming back to back in races five and six, making a wheelback pick four still dicey if you whiff in the first leg of the sequence. Not to mention that fifth, it's one of these pivot pick fives, as I like to call it, where you have a possibility of missing both pick fives in one race. What did you think of this card, Caleb?
Yeah, I saw it the same way you did, Chase. This is a tough sequence. I didn't see any races where I found it to be really easy to take a stand or to easily lean on an obvious horse or a single or a horse that I had a super strong conviction about. In fact, I probably have more of an opposite opinion where I'll look at a race and I don't really like a favorite, but then I'll go through the race and there's probably four or five horses that I like as much as the favorite who will be a better price, which makes it a good betting race and an attractive race to attack, but it also makes it very difficult to put together pick five tickets that are going to be within any reasonable budget. So yeah, I agree with you. It was a tough sequence.
I think you either have to throw just like the entire bankroll at building out this a massive ticket, or you have to just say, fuck it, I'm taking my shot and trim it down. You know, otherwise you'll drive yourself crazy with this one. But I think it's a tough one to say that you're going to go ahead and like take your swing at. So I'm trying to keep it as thin as possible, but it still ended up a big ticket for what I usually play. And I was with you. My first general impression just before I got into the nitty gritty of the handicapping was this is going to play buckets, absolute buckets. So let's talk about race five, 8.5 furlong, $70,000 maiden special weight on the all weather, which every race will be if you are a newbie here to Turfway Park. And I think you've got to spread out and take a good bit of this field to get through this race alive. The good thing is that some of these horses have whiffed themselves out of a contention for me by being lifetime losers of 10 or more races. As I like to say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, that you are dead to us. That leaves me with some first timers and a couple of lightly raced horses I think could possibly get up and do something here. What was your impression of this race?
Yeah, so I think we're probably leaning in the same direction and talking about some of these career bridesmaid horses. I saw the race relatively similar, perhaps, where the 10 horse Sri Lanka is your morning line favorite. That's not a horse that I need on my pick five ticket. So if this horse wins, I'll be firing that run back pick four that you mentioned earlier. Beaten seven times in a row at 5-2 or less. You know, a lot of those actually odds on. 6 second place finishes from 8 starts. Sort of felt like, at this point, I mean, maybe the synthetic kind of wakes this horse up, but for me, this horse is going to be too short, and I've just seen enough. So where I actually ended up instead is my top selection in here, and a horse that I do have, I feel somewhat strongly about, is the number 9, Heart-Headed Woman. So when I glanced through this race, I didn't see a lot of speed. I did not see much early pace. There was a couple of horses stretching out from sprints, and then maybe a couple horses that are first-time starters or shippers from overseas that we maybe don't know what they're going to do. But the number 9, Heart-Headed Woman, seems to be one of the few horses that is confirmed to want to be forwardly placed. I thought she ran a nice race last time out at that January 25th effort where she made the lead, you know, carved out the fractions, and she was a pretty clear-cut second. I mean, she was almost 4 lengths clear of the horse that finished third that day, A Dollar Day, who was back in this race as the number 8 horse. And you know, she just happened to get run down by a better horse that day. Call Me Tony ran a big race and came back to frank that effort with a pretty good subsequent performance. I think Hard-Headed Woman has a pace advantage on this field, and a repeat of her last, I think, makes her pretty tough in here unless one of the very lightly raced horses or first-time starters jumps up with a big one.
Yeah, I was with you on Hard-Headed Woman. For one, just anytime we're looking at a maiden race, I'm always going to look at a horse that is going to present itself as the early speed in a race, just because it's something that I've said a million times. Passing other horses is a learned skill, and a lot of times you're going to see these races go to the. So I was with you with the nine. I used the a couple horses here. I was four deep, and I'm going to start with the longest price I had. The one, Rock Lucky, 12-1, first timer on the rail, sure, but I love this pedigree. By More Than Lucky, I can't remember who's on the bottom half. Hold on, let me scroll up and I'll tell you who's on the bottom half. Out of a Holy Roman Emperor mare. So there's just a lot of distance here. This horse really looks like it's made to go two turns. Also, Jonathan Thomas is hitting at 41% with debut races greater of a mile, and that's with the 17 race sample size. Good night. Yeah, I don't think you can leave this horse off your ticket. Just with all the positive angles that Jonathan Thomas has going for him, plus a huge weight break, only carrying 111 pounds here.
Yeah, that was actually my second pick in this race as well. And those are the two horses that I'll probably try to get out of this race with, is the number one and the number nine. I completely agree with you. I mean, Jonathan Thomas does great work with a relatively limited sample of stable horses, but his numbers with first timers, you know, stretching out, or not stretching out, but first timers at a route going two turns are quite good. And I even dug in a little more, and even on turf white and synthetic, those numbers hold up. I think in the last year, he's 24% with first time starters going a route at Turfway. So there's no reason to think that that's a fluky stat based just on dirt or turf or whatever. I mean, in general, he's very strong with this move. The pedigree's there. I have a little bit of heartburn about the jockey from the rail trying to work out the right trip, but at 12-1, I think the price is right to take that shot. So I'm with you on Rock Lucky.
I'm with you. And in addition to the, you know, Rock Lucky and Hard-Headed Woman, I also use two more horses. The three, Chelsea Pier at 6-1. Cherie DeVoe gets this one in third off the layoff and shipping in from Oaklawn Park after a decent showing over a sloppy 1 mile race. This horse has shown the ability to pass other horses. I think that's going to be the key element of getting this one's picture taken over this surface. You know, I say these things are often won by early speed. Well, except for when they blow up, because everyone wants to go fast early. So having a horse that can pass is valuable there. So I like it at 6-1. And then I'm using this number six, La Charmante at 10-1. Go Dolphin, because that my dolphin. This Godolphin horse is trained by Michael Stidham, who, while cold at this track, is particularly good with the debut and maiden special weight races. It's a Magla de Oro baby, so I think that this one will also like the two turns. So I was 1, 3, 6, and 9 there. And before we move on the next race, got to get a word in from our good friends at Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes, plus tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower VIG and fully customizable odds, and you can create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for your two friggin' dollars. It's got social features like group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And you get rewards, get cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. I got to come up with a few. I'm going to see if they can incorporate horse racing here so I can get like some sports horse parlays going. But you should download Cut today in the App Store over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. Use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. Also, don't forget our good friends at Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Play their awesome pick'em game where you can pick whether your favorite player will have higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Listen, I don't care what the person is, what the sport is, just always, always go lower. Always be pessimist. Just take the lower on everything. I swear it's a positive ROI move. So sign up today with promo code SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with my promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. And oh man, do I need to get a rehydration break in after all of that. Jaguar switching four lanes, top down, screaming out money in the bank. Bubble
hard in the double law, flashing the rings with the window crack, holla back. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Moving on. Race six. Six furlongs. $50,000 maiden claiming. So you got maiden back-to-back to start it off here. I thought this one was a little bit easier than the previous race. I also didn't like the favorite here. I thought it was one that you could leave off your ticket. I'm going to be looking at the front end of this race because, like I said, an early speed horse is always dangerous in a maiden race because passing other horses is a learned behavior. And then I got one horse on here that I really like with the ultimate equipment change. Caleb, how did you approach this maiden race?
Man, I think we're really seeing the ball the same way tonight. And I don't know if you're also at MIT or something, but I saw this race very similar to you.
Well, they've been trying to get me to come for a while. I know. And I'm like, you know, I don't want
They've been trying to recruit you, but I know Harvard's in the mix too. And it's just been
a mess. And the CIA and everything, telling them no is hard.
Yeah. So I, starting with the favorite that you alluded to, the same argument I had in the last race applies to this horse here, number seven Stonks. 0 for 13 lifetime, going out for a very cold Mike Maker barn, only hitting at 5% at Turfway this meet, which is well below what he's accustomed to doing. Last time felt like the time he finally dropped his horse. The horse got the right setup, a fast pace to close into, 3-2, and just still couldn't get by. Maybe he finds a soft enough field today, but at 9-5, he'll win without my money. So I went to, I don't know if it'll be the same horse as you, but I went to my top selection is what I think is the second choice on the morning line, which is the number three horse, Pretty Fast. This is a horse that I thought showed promise last time out with showing good early speed last out in that February 17th race, was able to take a pressured lead pretty much the entire race. I mean, had somebody hounding him every step from the snap opening of the gate all the way to the wire before he just kind of tired late. This is a three-year-old colt, you know, still relatively young, relatively inexperienced, that seems to be improving with each and every race. I thought that the race two back was probably just a little bit of a greenness where he sort of missed the break a little bit, and this horse certainly seems like a need-to-lead type, so they did the old miss the break and then rush up and try to get the lead, and then you don't get the lead, and then you try to slow down the horse, and that kind of trip just rarely works. So I think this horse looks positioned to be the leading or controlling speed, depending on what version of the number two horse that we see off the big layoff. And I think that he might just be improving at the right time and have found a field that's easy enough for him to beat on the drop from maiden special into maiden claiming.
So I'm going to give you my top pick here, and it's going to be, angles that I'm just dirty little pig boy for through and through.
Little pig boy.
Can I get the definition?
Little pig boy. He's that pathetic, dirty bitch baby mistress gets to stand on.
So the favorite was one of the only other horses that could close except for this eight heating at 6-1. And that horror, you know, I thought this one also was coming off the ultimate equipment change, being gelded for the first time. Now it seems you have very consistent works, which is what I like to see. Hasn't run since 22, but it's also by Galileo out of A Kitten's Joy Mare. I think this one will really like the all weather. It has never tried the surface before. I want it on my ticket. But I need this price probably to float up a whole lot for me to take a horse that's been on the shelf since 2022 to win bet. I will say that, though. I really do think that this horse is worth putting on the ticket because I think it could surprise, because the pedigree is there, the off-pace history is there, and if this horse being gelded is actually a little bit focused, it's got competitive enough speed figures on turf if they translate over to the all-weather.
Yeah, that's a horse I did have on my ticket as well, Chase. I don't know what heating is going to do. The pedigree's phenomenal. I do question if six furlongs is the distance that he really wants to go. And the big layoff is obviously cause for concern. But the horse is nevertheless lightly raced. So if you can argue that a five-year-old gelding has upside, this might be the case where you can make that argument. So this heating will make my ticket simply for the fact that he's a relative unknown in a field where I'm against the favorite. The price is going to be fair enough, I think. So I'm with you there. And then one more horse that I kind of looked at as a bit of a flyer in here was the number five, More Hot Sauce. Because, I mean, who doesn't like More Hot Sauce? But right. On top of that, this is maybe reading the tea leaves a little bit too much on a...
More Hot Sauce for George S. Bush. I love it.
I mean, you don't think George Bush uses hot sauce?
Oh, man. I know he does.
You can just tell at Texas. I mean, you just know.
Yeah,
but
dude.
Speaking of George S. Bush, probably related to George W. Bush, but we can't be sure. Out of six starters at Turfway, he's got two winners and a second place finish, at least as of the time that I'm reading this. And for a small trainer with a small barn that I personally am not familiar with, it seems like he's not sending many horses at Turfway, but the ones that he is sending are relatively live. He goes and gets an apprentice jockey, you know, Sarah Hess, who gets a 7-pound weight break and is also a 3-year-old against a couple of other older horses in here. So this horse is getting as much as 15 pounds compared to some of the other older horses in this field. I wonder how significant that may be for a field that I don't see any monsters. Nobody really scares me. That last workout where from the gate where she went 48 flat for the third fastest work out of 37 runners kind of impressed me. And she's one that I thought might be worth taking a flyer, or he's one that I thought might be worth taking a flyer on.
All right. I used two more horses. The number two, Man with the Moves, 8-1. This one shows some early speed. I do love my man, Fernando de la Cruz, even though it doesn't look like he's having that great of a all-weather meet at the Turfway Park. But it showed early speed in the debut on all-weather 2 back in April of last year. As the speed in the maiden race makes this one a no-brainer for me to add to the ticket. And then I used the 6 Papa Alden at 5-1, who I thought was the other early speed in this race, which, I mean, there's a lot of speed here. You know, I flashed the speed last out, and it seems to be working pretty steadily. I'll use the 0% trainer. Fuck it. Here we go. I'm 2-6-8. It's like he, you know, it's the whole thing when you're a kid, like starting now, he gets hot. That's how we do it.
Love it. Yeah, that's all I had. This race was 3-5-8. I didn't have anyone. I did look at your two for a long time. The layoff and the drop didn't inspire confidence, but if I was going to use one more horse, the two would make my ticket. So I think that horse is pretty interesting in here.
All right. Speaking of interesting, something everyone should be interested in. Champs, they're hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Plus, you host your own March Madness pool on Champs. You'll get an extra free entry into the bracket contest. Oh my God, I'm about to cough so hard. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you'll get an extra free entry into the bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first, so make sure to register now so you don't miss out. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/chance. And as always, we are brought to you by the good nerds of Hall of Fame Bets. We want you to win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. You can enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool via hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching and start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. And, excuse me, I got to get a rehydration break in. If you had a second line and them boys got a gun, you better run for it. I just messed that up. We'll try that. And them boys got a gun, you better run for it, run for it, run. And if you're too deep in some beef and them boys about to come, you better run for it, run for it, run. So, people who aren't privy to, like, Caleb and I's relationship as friends, he has this ability to take horses that I like in a race and kill them with his mind lasers by just saying, I hate that horse. It never fails that usually when he hates a horse that I'm on, it doesn't go well. I had to get skinny somewhere, and I have a horse here that I'm hoping Caleb doesn't hate. But I want to hear first how Caleb thought this race was going to shake out, what he kind of thought. What'd you think of the race shape? What'd you do here?
Yeah, so this is the race that I think, and maybe this is where you're going, that if you really needed a single in this sequence, I think this is probably the race with your most likely winner of the sequence. And that horse, in my opinion, is the number six, 50 cent dollars. I think the line is correct on that. This horse should be fairly short. Ran a very nice allowance race, two back. And then ran a pretty good race last time out off of a two-month break, going a mile and a quarter, which is probably just a little farther than he really wants to go. He gets back to a mile here where he's, you know, four out of nine and seven out of nine in the money. Really just the horse makes – I hate to use the phrase makes sense, but the horse makes sense. I do wonder the trip that he gets, and perhaps that's my biggest question mark with 50 cent dollar – is he does have a very speedy horse to his immediate inside in the number five, Uncle Jake. Beyond those two, there really wasn't a ton of other speed in the race, but I do think that Uncle Jake is a legit speed threat. I don't know if he'll take the synthetic, and I don't really know what the tactics are going to be with the blinkers coming off and the new barn change, but the horse has essentially always been on the lead. I wouldn't expect that to change here. So I think from a pace perspective, it makes the race a little more interesting. All that to say that I do respect the number six, 50 cent dollars. He is one of two horses that I'll use here, but I couldn't just quite get around to making him a stone cold single simply because I wonder if coming out of that mile and a quarter race, his speed might be a little bit blunted. I wonder if the five gets ahead of him, kind of how the number six is going to react to that. But I will concede he's a very likely winner of this race. And I won't be surprised if he sits second and then passes the five turning for home and wins by a length and a half pretty comfortably.
Oh, okay. Who was the second horse you used?
The second horse I used was the number four, Tall Boy.
Oh God, you're gonna tell me you fucking hate my horse.
Am I gonna hate Laser your horse?
I think you're gonna hate Laser my horse.
Oh, man. Well, let me touch on Tall Boy and then I can break down your hopes and dreams later. Yeah. I think Tall Boy, excuse me. I think he's been keeping better company. I mean, he was running very competitive races on the turf against better horses than what he finds in here. If you look through those form lines, you'll see Wadsworth, King Curlin, you'll see, you know, Angliophile, Extra Anejo, a couple of really nice horses, a lot of stakes winners in there, either listed stakes or graded stakes winners. And then last time out, he was in a race that I think was a little bit saltier than this, an N3L allowance versus an N2X. So I think this is maybe a slightly easier spot. And also in that last race, he was trying to close from essentially, you know, too far back in a race that was largely dominated on the front end. You know, Coliseo went gate to wire, setting relatively mild fractions, 49 to the half, not very swift. So I think he ran a nice race that day. I think he probably gets a slightly more honest pace setup with the presence of Uncle Jake in here to keep things honest up front. And I think he's one at 6-1 that I'm quite interested in. So I do like Tallboy enough that I'm not willing to single 50 cent dollars, but those are my top two. So now I'm curious where you landed, Chase.
Well, I go ahead and I'll say that to spare any sort of drama here.
I'm singing. I want to mingle.
You want to mingle?
Yeah.
Now- So I'm forcing, like, I'm that guy pulling up with a logo three, you know, logo three pointer with about 23 seconds left on the shot clock. I'm that kind of forcing here. Which happy March, everybody, I guess. It's Turfway Park, so it's never quite easy to single anybody, but I'm going to try it with the 10 graphic detail at 5-2. Luan Machado appears to be pistol hot up at Turfway, and this horse makes a middle move that I think will serve it well in this race. It stretches out again, and it has recently run well going two turns at Turfway Park, and I think this horse might really relish this stretch out for Paulo Lobo, fellow El Lobo. Yeah, I really like this one. Third off the layoff, barely missed last out, was a winner first off the layoff. The horse just keeps running and keeps working, and I can't see anything wrong with this horse, and I think the pace setup is there. And anytime I'm playing Turfway Park, I really love horses that run on the outside wide stocking trips. And this horse is naturally going to get this being in the 10 post.
Yeah. When you didn't take the 4 or the 6, I sort of assumed the 10 was where you went. And I don't hate graphic detail in here. This horse could certainly win. My biggest concern with this horse is I just don't really think that he wants a mile. You look back at some of those races, and yes, he's run relatively well going two turns. You know, there's some of those Turfway losses at a mile. He was beaten less than a length, but in all those losses, to me, watching those back, it felt like he was supposed to win those races and just got a little bit flat in the stretch. He kind of hit the lead in the stretch and then just sort of hit a wall and backed up a little bit and found a way to get caught. So the pedigree is a little mixed as far as how far he really wants to go. In my opinion, a mile's probably as far as he's really interested in going. But he's one that, with the right trip, I mean, clearly he's going to be in the picture at the finish. I just thought I didn't want to go too deep with the top two selections, and I prefer the 6 to the 10 in here. So I decided that the 10 is probably not one I need, but wouldn't surprise me if he does win.
All right, here we go. Race 8. The penultimate leg, 6 furlongs, $50,000, non-winners of 1-something. I'm not here to read your conditions for you. Get the racing form. Read your conditions for yourself. Optional claimer. And holy hell, there's a lot of one-dimensional speed in this race. And all of that one-dimensional speed wants to be on the front. And this looks like the most multiple race I remember seeing in a while, even at a sprint distance, quite honestly. You had to think it was going to be pretty hot also, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I thought the race was simple, but it wasn't cheap. I'll put it that way, because I saw the race the same way, and that it looks like an off-the-pace runner wins this. Now, which off-the-pace runner that is, I think, is a little debatable. The three that I kind of landed on is the 110 and the 11, all of whom will make my final ticket. The 10 is the one that's probably the most interesting at a pretty big price. He's certainly going to be, you know, charging late, cutting back from a mile, and didn't even show speed at a mile. But he's one that I think is going to offer the best value of all the closers. But I do think the 110 and 11 get just the ideal pace setup that any of them could ask for in here. And I think they all should have a really good chance to win, and wouldn't even totally surprise me if they come 1, 2, 3 or in some form or fashion. Like I said, the 10 probably offers the most value, but the 1 and 11 are probably a little more consistent, a little more proven perhaps. So they'll all make my ticket. And I did throw in one of the speeds, but I'm curious where you landed first.
Yeah, we saw this very much the same. I have 10 and 11, the 10 Modern Sound at 10-1 on my ticket here. Big drop in class here. Trying all weather for the first time. It's won over a softer turf track, which I think might kind of bode well with the transition. The 11, these apples, 7-2. I think that's, honestly, I think this might be your most likely winner. I think could go off the favorite. And ideally, I'd like to maybe leave this horse off my ticket, but I just couldn't make myself do it. So I'll take it at 7-2 and hope that I'm wrong with it just being absolutely smashed. And then I only use one other horse. That was the six Spice, which while Modern Sound and these apples look like they could come from deeper off the pace, I thought that Spice could sit that wide pressing stalking trip and kind of have first run at 6-1 and be a really good price to have here on the ticket.
Yeah, no problem with Spice at all in here. That's one I had marked down as a horse that I'd have to come back and look at more, you know, come time after scratches and whatever else. Because I can see a world where he gets that perfect stalking trip behind the speeds and gets first jump on the closers. So I agree with you. Spice is very interesting in here, going out for a pretty high-powered barn with strong ownership and jockey connections behind it. So I'm with you on Spice.
The other horse, so I think it's kind of like a – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I was just about to babble about some bullshit, so
my other horse that I mentioned earlier is a speed that I thought was potentially kind of usable. Was the number three, My Girl Ginger. And this horse breaks a lot of my standard rules of, you know, broke the maiden last out, did it in maiden claiming, and now moves up to protected company. But the thing that I like about My Girl Ginger is that A, she's going to be a big price. There's really no doubt about that. And that B, I thought her race last out was just incredibly game. If you go back and watch that, she took a lot of heat on the front end for pretty much the whole race. The horses that pressed the pace in that race that she won last out, the horses that were second and third at the first call finished last and next to last. And I always like a horse that kind of wins a race against the flow. So this is a race that closers typically filled out most of the top five positions. But My Girl Ginger just kept on going. So I thought that was a really nice race. She needs to improve and run faster, but I think she'll be every bit of 15-1. And she's one that maybe this isn't the spot given the presence of other speed, but she did sort of sit in rate in that debut race against much cheaper. So maybe she works out some kind of a trip, or maybe she's kind of a next time horse, but she's one that I was impressed by her last race.
You know, thinking of this, that having these apples as a horse that I could see, I could make a case for either maybe trying to get bold with a single or completely tossing off of your ticket. It brought me to, I haven't run this by anybody yet. I think I've just only talked about it in solo shows. So I want to get your input on what you think. My New Year's resolution was to stop singling closers or going thin on closers. It's just I call it the how many salmon, mindset of how many salmon do I have to let loose up the stream so that it will spawn cash babies when it gets there. So anytime I have a race now that looks like it's coming from off the pace, I'm using every single horse that's off the pace that I think is worth a damn in that leg.
I respect that take. I do. I think I don't have a New Year's resolution per se, but I love that you do. And I agree with you in principle that, you know, singling a closer is harder than singling a speed horse. Yeah, Lone Speed, more often than not, gets their trip, and it's just a matter of are they good enough or are they not. Lone Closer, or a closer in a field that looks like it has to melt, yeah, a lot can go wrong. You could find traffic. You could get carried. And this horse is breaking from the 11 post, could easily get floated out super wide. There's a lot that could go wrong. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm always a little bit gun-shy of singling a closer in a race like this, especially a closer that doesn't appear dominant. This horse is arguably the horse to beat, but he's not dominant by any metric. So yeah, I think that's kind of why my ticket was the way it was, is I'm using the closers that all have a shot in my opinion. And then maybe one speed horse that'll be 20-1 that I find interesting.
Yeah. And see the closers, like think of closers as like those pretty women, the most prettiest girl in your town that moves to LA, that wants to, you know, make it in the movies and everything. And here's the deal is that you don't just have to be pretty, you have to be lucky to get the right breaks. And that's why I think of these closers. It's like, not only do they have to be pretty on the paper, they also have to get lucky and get the right trip. That's how you get to start them. This has been a weird diatribe that I went off on. So let's move on to race 9, 6 furlongs. I just had to make sure hear from someone else that I wasn't crazy. Race 9, 6 furlongs, $30,000 maiden claimer. If you're alive at this point of the ticket, show appreciation to whatever deity or higher power you recognize. because this sequence is tough as shit. But those are generally the ones that pay well, trying to make those, that big kind of generational wealth pay out. One where you can talk to the help like this.
Hey, 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 don't rub on that. You block that. You understand? That's alpaca. That's $25,000 alpaca. You block that shit. Right. You don't rub on. Put the club soda on there.
That's right. That blot my alpaca. That put that club soda on my alpaca money. Yeah, I kept it to three here. I could see how you might want to go deeper, but I thought just for price of ticket, since I was, you know, starting to get up there, I cut it to three, and I think I got a pretty good shot of it. What did you think of this race?
I did not have a very original opinion in this race. I also used three horses. I think they're the top three choices on the board. I hate doing that, but this is a race that's, it's kind of gross. Like, there's just nobody I like really per se. The horses that I like maybe the best have big question marks to answer, whether it's layoffs or first time synthetic or maybe both. So I think that it's a race that I had a hard time getting very aggressive towards any horse. And I landed on the, probably in order of preference, the 7, 12, and 6. The 7 is the horse I liked best in here. I think there's going to be enough speed in this race that we see somebody come from off the pace to win. That's always a little bit risky in these cheaper races, but I do think that the presence of Dan's Candy Girl is going to ensure a pretty honest tempo. And then you also have horses like Tavali and a few others who are going to be forwardly placed. So I thought the number 7, Mural, came out of that race almost a year ago now at Indiana Grand and ran an okay race, finished mid-pack. That race turned out to be pretty lively with the top three horses coming back to win again or win next time out. So I think that was a pretty lively race. Clearly something went off with this horse to take almost a year off and then come back in for a tag here. So there are certainly some questions, but I think it's just rather Cherie DeVoe spotting this horse realistically. You know, it's a West Point, you know, partially owned horse. They're not in the business of, you know, keeping horses around that maybe improve and get way better. I think they're being very realistic with something happened with this horse. It's not probably quite as good as we'd hoped. The horse is probably sound. And I think the sound version of this horse that repeats or even runs similar to the level that we saw a year ago is going to be pretty difficult to beat in here. So the number 7 Mural was my top selection.
Yeah. So I agreed on a couple of horses here. Well, you said you had the 6 Tavali, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was with you. I thought that was the likely speed of speed there in the race. And I was with you on Dan's Candy Girl also, because I thought that this was the horse that could be stalking and pressing and making kind of maybe kind of urging that tempo a little bit. So I had Dan's Candy Girl with a 9 on my ticket as well. I might have missed this horse, and I'm actually really excited about it at 9-2, the 12, Roman a Day. I might have missed this one if not for the equipment change, the ultimate equipment change, the ballectomy on this horse. And I wouldn't have seen the 2 smoking hot workouts followed by a super slow workout, which, I mean, if you're keeping score at home, this just checks all sorts of dirty little pig boy angle boxes.
Little pig boy comes from the dirt. He's a weaselly little mud grub who needs to be stood on. Little pig boy.
Don't forget, we have dirty little pig boy shirts now available at the SGPN merch store. check those out. store.sgpn, I believe. Yeah, Roman a Day. I'm just a sucker for a lot of things that are happening there with the gelding, and then with the smoking fast works right after it, and then that slope. I'm a sucker for this workout pattern. I was kind of surprised that that you didn't use it, given the fact that that it had the workout pattern. What's wrong with my horse?
No, I used it. I said,
oh, you did?
I mentioned Dan's Candy Girl is a horse that will be a pace factor. I don't know the horse can get 6 furlongs when she sort of struggles to finish off 5 off the layoff. But I mentioned her as a pace player. But the 6, 7, and 12 were the three horses I like. So I agree with you on Roman a Day. I think that you've perhaps misgendered her as a filly.
I did. It was the blinkers. It was the blinkers, not the ball.
Yeah, I assume that's what you meant. Yeah. Yeah. So, but all the reasons that you were alluding to, that workout pattern is extremely impressive. And again, Jonathan Thomas knows what he's doing. I think this is just a realistic spot for a horse that probably isn't going to compete at Belmont and Saratoga later on. So yeah, I think that Roman Adai will be on all of my tickets. I completely agree.
Well, so you got the Giants Causeway line on the top side there, or Giants Causeway, being a really good all-weather sire, or that lineage being pretty good. And I keep seeing the name Roman Ruler, and I keep thinking that handles the all-weather fairly well as two, fairly well also. So yeah, I was there. I was three deep. The Tavali, Dance Candy Girl, and Roman Adai. I'm not sure who Rosie has, but she's definitely trying to pipe in there with the barks. That's my bad. Was that it? Was that who you had?
Yeah, we're very similar. I mean, just Tavali ran a good race, second off that huge layoff. Had every right to need that start. So yeah, I agree with you. Should improve on here. And then, yeah, I talked about Mural, and I think Roman Adai is another very live player. I tried desperately to make a case for the number two, Lady Robo. I think you sort of mentioned that horse. Ultimately, I couldn't quite get there. But if that's the horse that beats me at 15-1 to kill my pick five, I'll be very upset.
Yeah, Lady Robo has a little bit of the ability to pass, but I'm not sure if the horse is actually making up lengths whenever it passes, or if it's just getting past tired horses, which is something you have to kind of verify that whenever they're passing, they're actually making up ground. You know, it's not that you're staying four lengths back and, you know, just changing position. All right, that'll do. I think that does it for our tickets. Let's go ahead and wrap them up here. I'll go ahead and go first. First leg, I was 1-3-6-9. And the second leg, 2-6-8. Third leg, single, the 10. Fourth leg, 6-10-11. And the fifth leg, 6-9-12. It's a $54 ticket at the 50-cent base. What about you, Caleb?
Yeah, so in the first leg, I was 1-9. Then I was 3-5-8. With 4-6, with 1-3-10-11, with 6-7-12. So for a 50-cent ticket, that is 72. I struggled to get it down much more than that. It's a tough sequence, but I think it pays. So if you have strong opinions, I think it's worth spending up on, because I think the sequence will pay.
Yeah, I could easily see having a $100 ticket. If someone showed me a $100 ticket on social media, or weirdly just like showed up in my front door, was like, hey, look at this Turfway Park ticket, which would be strange if that happened, I would be like, okay, yeah, no, that's cool. You kept it a little cheap there, because you could probably make a case for going very, very deep here in a lot of these races. All right, that's gonna do it for us here at the Notorious OTB. We will catch you tomorrow, but not before we let Caleb plug everything he's doing with On the Wrong Lead. Or I know you now live amongst the learned folk in academia, so you're still doing stuff with them when you can, though, right?
I am. We took a hiatus essentially from Breeders' Cup until the Derby preps pick back up again, like the 50-point Derby preps. But now that we're back in full swing, we're going to try to have a weekly stream again. The numbers have really suffered since my departure, because nobody wants to watch just Josh and Mark. So if you're listening to this, please come watch us. We will give you entertainment and occasionally winners, but the losers will be ridiculed mercilessly. So yeah, come check it out. We stream every Thursday at 8:30 Eastern, or 7:30 God's time, as some people would say, on YouTube. It's On the Wrong Lead, or Twitter, or wherever you get your social media.
What was it? Was it Trash Can Tyshawn? Was that the horse that was wrongly attributed to me?
No, it was Flapjack.
Flapjack. Yeah. Listen, when we talk about like ridiculing for missing horses, there was one horse that was like attributed to me from On the Wrong Lead stream, and its name was Flapjack. And like, people kept calling back and like, oh, what about that Flapjack call? And I never made it. And I got so frustrated. I was so pissed off, because I was like, God damn it, I miss enough races on my own. I don't need to own someone else's losses too. And it took Josh going back through the archives to find the episode to find out it was actually Mark, who was, I felt like, the deflector and the instigator of the erroneous flapjack call.
100%. You know, Mark knew the whole time, and he was just like, I'm fine with Chase taking the heat for this. This is fine.
he just went like full psyop and was like planting the seed and be like, oh yeah. Oh, remember Chase had flapjack? Oh, you son of a bitch. I see what you did.
It worked too for months.
It worked too. And I got so angry. I finally, finally it was corrected though, which I'm very glad. I've said so many bad things about Mark in the course of recording this that I should say he's also one of the genuinely nicest people you'll ever meet on the face of the planet. So there's that too. He gets his shit from me, but I have to be like, okay, he's also a pretty really good dude. All right, that's gonna do it for us. Remember, check out On the Wrong Lead. And then tomorrow, check out more Notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We will see you then.